Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour two of the Big Show underway. Thanks for tuning in. As always, so many ways to listen to us, and we appreciate that you do. 960 on your AM radio. You can stream us at sportsnet.ca/960, or tell your smart speaker to play Sportsnet 960. Of course, every hour of our show is posted immediately afterwards. If you missed anything from a previous hour, you can catch it wherever you get your podcasts, or catch the whole show. Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, subscribe now, leave a comment, never miss a moment or a guest. I am Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. We're coming to you live from the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Currently hiring fully ticketed tradespeople to fill all roles. Learn more about job opportunities at iconicec.ca/careers. Logo, in this era of social media and breaking news, there's really not anything that doesn't catch us off guard or comes out of the blue, left field, however you want to put it. Today was an exception, though, as, you know, you're scanning Twitter, you're looking at different news stories. And after some injuries to their defensive backfield, they have gone to a familiar face. And the team I'm talking about is the LA Rams, a team who has traded a lot of draft picks. They put their chips in the middle. This team is going all out for a championship. And they've gone to a familiar face that wasn't an active player. Here's Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, who talked about the signing on NFL Now earlier today.
Wow, Eric Weddle is back. And I think, Andrew, what we've learned here when it comes to the Rams and their planning and how they do things, I think the most important thing, if you're a Rams fan, is you follow Jalen Ramsey on Twitter. there's a lot of other things you could do, but I think that's the number one.
Did he have that
picture
up first? He tweets
last night at like 1 a.m., and it was basically like, he, and he's given us some weird cryptic tweets when they've done of other bonkers things. He knew this was coming, clearly. This is his guy. Eric Weddle now back after 2 years, and, you know, I think for the Rams, look, physically, who knows what Weddle is going to be mentally. He's great. He always is. This was clearly their last and best option. They had two significant injuries to the position. They literally have to play this week. This came together last night at like, you know, midnight or something like that. But yes, officially back with the Rams today.
So Jordan Fuller down, and he's out for the rest of the season with an injury. So this team needed to get somebody in quick and somebody who knew the system. And they go to Eric Weddle, a guy, of course, you know well as a Charger fan, Logo, 37 years old. He turned 37 8 days ago, in fact. And like you heard in that clip, they're not playing in 2020. He last played in 2019. Who knows where Eric Weddle is physically, but a guy who's got some playoff experience, certainly a guy who knows this system, last playing for the Rams in the NFL in 2019. And we're talking about a defensive scheme that probably has changed a little bit, but not much. And this guy probably only needs a couple of days to get right back in when it comes to, you know, the mental challenge of being, whether it be the defensive playbook or where things are at. Again, I don't imagine a ton has changed in those couple of years. And, you know, I know he's 37, but I think you could do worse than six-time Pro Bowler and two-time All-Pro in Eric Weddle. I don't know what he's going to bring at 37, but that's a pretty good signing this late in the game, knowing you've got a playoff game to play on Monday. And it just shows you maybe the faith a guy like Weddle has in what the Rams are building and what their chances are in the NFC. Because, again, I know that he loves football, but to get a guy to come out of retirement who hasn't played in 2 years and he's 37, it probably believes a little bit in what that team can do in the playoffs. And that's a whole new meaning for me when it comes to ring chasing, Logo.
Yeah, this is an interesting one and not one I, like you, expected to hear at all today. You hear about these injuries late in the season and they're always tough to replace, but it's so hard in football to just grab a guy literally off the streets and hop him and put him into your lineup and expect him to be a contributing member of your defense on Monday against the Cardinals. Now, my first guess when I started hearing more about it, Will, is that I would assume from a Rams perspective that whether it was Jalen Ramsey or Sean McVay or somebody in the organization, the last couple of weeks, they probably went to Weddle and said, hey, look, if something was to come up, Are you still working out? Are you in good shape? You know what I mean? Like, those sort of things, I'm sure, have been exchanged with him. I can't imagine this was something that was out of the blue for him either. But when they've got that latest injury, Jordan Fuller, it probably became more of a reality to them actually getting pen to paper and getting him set to play on Monday. But, yeah, just for a 37-year-old, I would imagine there was some sort of background into it. I'm extremely excited as a guy that he was a fan favorite of mine when he played with the Chargers. I have no idea what to actually expect of him game-wise. I think at least if you're Sean McVay and company, you can expect that he's going to be professional. He's going to do everything he can to help the team win, whatever capacity that is. Even if it's just as a guy on special teams, you know, trying to help be responsible for contained coverage, that sort of thing. I think you can guarantee the minimum from Eric Weddle. I have no idea what the actual, like, ceiling is for this guy, Will. Does a year off at that age help you? Is he incredibly rusty coming back into the fold? How much of the Rams defense is still relevant to him from when he was playing? All of those questions remain, but it's a pretty neat story. And look, I'll be extremely interested. Monday was already going to be a game for me that I was going to be interested in, but now add this to that defense that, you know, has Von Miller and Aaron Donald and all these other big storylines to it. If Eric Weddle's out there defending against Kyler Murray and company, that's a level of excitement for me heading into Monday.
Yeah, and like I said, I think just the experience. I know this is not a Super Bowl winner, but a guy that's played in the playoffs a handful of times. I mentioned the two-time All-Pro, and again, he's 37, to your point. And I think everybody probably feels the same way. You don't know. There's zero guarantees of what he gives you, you know, physically. You're hoping he can get through the game healthy and can be out there and be a presence on the defense. But I don't think your expectations are super high either. I think you're just bringing in a guy who is familiar and a guy that you're comfortable throwing out there, you know, with limited practice. And to your point, I don't think we're talking about a guy who, you know, played a game in 2019 and then has just done nothing but sit on the couch for 2 years. I think we're talking about a guy who's still very much, you know, again, it's hard to keep yourself in playing shape, but I don't think this guy's falling off right off the map, and I'm excited to see what he can do. And it's one of those curious cases for me because, you know, we'll talk about the Bills and Patriots later today at about 3:30 when Dan Fates joins us from 13 Wham in Rochester. You know, the Bills are getting set to play a divisional opponent for the third time this season. Cardinals and Rams will play for a third time this season to close out the Super Wild Card weekend on Monday. There are so many different layers to this. This adds to it. And, man, I again, like I said, I think if you're a guy like Eric Weddle, you're thinking the Rams are in a pretty good spot here, at least to win one playoff game, and then you get into the final eight, final four in your conference, and really anything can happen. And, man, two different squads here because you look at the Rams and all the pieces they've added, certainly this season with Matthew Stafford. You know, they're a team that is hoping to get back to the Super Bowl. The last time they were there with Sean McVay, it was a disastrous performance. They put up just 3 points. But this season, coming in, hosting this game against the Cardinals, they're going to host the Super Bowl. We saw a team win it on home turf last year with Tampa Bay. I'm not saying they're going to win the NFC, but certainly I think they're in that conversation, deserving to be in that conversation. On the other side, the Cardinals come into this game 11-7, and let's not forget they started the year 7-0. I mean, this Cardinals team finished the year 4-7, and I know there's concerns about both of these teams and the way they kind of finished or limped into the playoffs, even though the Rams, you know, won 5 of their final 6 games. I think that there's concerns about Matthew Stafford and ball security in the playoffs. That's so important. But for me, and we talked about this on Monday's show when we kind of, you know, talked about the schedule and where games are at on our radar. I mean, there's a lot of red flags in Arizona. I know J.J. Watt wants to come back at some point here, and would obviously a deeper run would increase his chances. But it's a Cardinals team who lost 7 of their final 11 games after starting the year 7-0, I believe, were the last team standing when you're talking about undefeated groups. So I'm leaning Rams here, and I think a lot of it is because of the way the second half of the season went for both these two teams.
Yeah, the Cardinals, especially without DeAndre Hopkins, and he's unlikely to play in that game Monday. have really struggled to me in a number of different ways. I'm worried. I don't think Kyler Murray's ankle is quite at 100%, which to me takes away some of his big playability, which is, you know, to me, he's got to be, if not the fastest quarterback in the league. And he's, you know, not just elusive in the pocket to find those big throws, Will, but he can take chunks of the field, you know, in the blink of an eye and completely change momentum of drives, keep drives going. And if you don't have a deep threat to stretch the field, it becomes a little bit more difficult. And I don't think the Cardinals have been able to fully adjust with Christian Kirk, A.J. Green, Zach Ertz as their main guys without DeAndre Hopkins. So, yeah, the Cardinals have a lot of worry for me going into this one. I'm curious to see if they can sort of overcome what's been a disappointing end to their season and what looked like it was going to be a historic, you know, one of the best years in Cardinals history to start it off, and a division title that looked for the longest time like it was theirs. And because you're right, it does give you a different feeling. The Rams certainly weren't perfect, and you have your questions about Matthew Stafford and how much he needs to grow and learn in these situations that he was never in from Detroit, from his time in Detroit, but you still have to feel better about their ability to battle back and what they did in the second half of the season than what the Cardinals did. I still think when you're talking a divisional game, opponents that have seen each other and know each other well, there's a good possibility for anything to happen on Monday night when these two teams meet up.
Yeah.
But I can't disagree with you in the fact that just looking at where these two teams finished and how they got to the finish line, even though there's questions about them, you still feel better about what the Rams did. And just look at their mentality with the guys. You know, we talked about the Weddle thing to start this off, but look at the additions they've gone out and made. They've made, they went and got OBJ. They went and got Von Miller. This is clearly a team that has high aspirations and is shooting for a Super Bowl and nothing less.
Eric Weddle last played in the NFL for the LA Rams in 2019, but he's back over 2 years later in the 2022 playoffs, turned 37 8 days ago. Caught a lot of people by surprise as he signs with the Rams, and all you got to do is listen to the start of that clip from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network.
Wow. Eric Weddle is back, and I think
Wow.
He clearly saw that one coming.
Well, as I said off the top, I mean, not a lot of things in this day and age catch us off guard, whether it be agents or you know, inside sources that, you know, we have news leak hours before teams are able to confirm it. Yeah, this one catching a lot of people off guard and brings a whole new meaning to chasing a ring. And, hey, let's hope Eric Weddle made a good decision to go to the LA Rams and a nice way to close out the career. And like I said, because he's been out for so long, I know he's a beast, always has been physically. You would know this watching the Chargers for as long as you do. And, you know, obviously being a fan of that team for your entire life, it's where he spent the majority of his career. Guy's a beast, and I just hope he can get it through that weekend healthy. And I know that, you know, he's probably a guy that's not going to be an every down player for the Rams at 37 and not playing in 2 years, but hey, he's going to help that team and certainly going to add some veteran leadership to the LA Rams defense. Meanwhile, speaking of veteran leadership up in Calgary and here in the CFL, we are inching closer to the opening of free agency as teams continue to do their final bit of business, get set to finalize their own situation and what they're doing with their players in need of new deals. The Calgary Stampeders making more news today. They've signed offensive lineman Derek Dennis. He's back for his third stint in red and white. He was with the Stampeders for the 2015 and 16 seasons, where he was named the CFL All-Star in 2016, along with being named the league's most outstanding offensive lineman. He was also with the Stampeders in the 2018 and 19 seasons, again being named an All-Star in 2018. He was under contract with the Edmonton Elks last season, but did not play a game, elected to not play last season, and he asked for a release, actually, early on in the year to pursue other opportunities to play in 2021, but was never actually released by the Elks. Was finally granted that release on December 28th after Chris Jones took over for Brock Sunderland, and now he's back in Calgary. CFL free agency will open up on February 8th, and Calgary has done some major lifting ahead of that opening as they've signed Derek Dennis, Trey Roberson, Reggie Bagleton, and of course, reworking the contract of Bo Levi Mitchell to open up some more cap space. Usually a team logo that is quiet in free agency. I think that theme will stay the same, But anything the Stampeders do, we'll be all over it here on the big show. And certainly, I believe we've got Derek Dennis going to join our program on Friday.
Yes, Derek is going to join us on Friday to talk about coming back to the Stampeders. I thought this was a great signing for the Stampeders today. Just still only 33 years old. I think Derek Dennis can provide some absolute stability to that Stampeders offensive line, whether it's at left tackle or at right tackle. An interesting career, and I'll be interesting to ask him about this on Friday. He's always felt like a Stampeder to me. I know he's had time, and he got that big contract with Saskatchewan back in 2017, but to me, this has always felt like a guy that's been very comfortable in Calgary. He's had lots of success here. I think he's well-liked in that locker room. And when I think of Derek Dennis, I think of and I associate him with the Calgary Stampeders. And I think that a lot of that was made in his statement today, saying that he's glad to be home. And I think this is his home in the CFL. And I think it sticks with what the Stampeders do best, Will. And that's they're never overly aggressive. Like they'll go and get guys like Richard Leonard and, you know, some other guys here and there in free agency veterans that they can bring into the fold. But for the most part, this team is very content bringing back guys that they know they can trust. And I think that's been almost as evident this offseason more than any, that they've prioritized bringing back guys into the fold that they know. They know Trey Roberson. They know Reggie Bagleton. They know Derek Dennis. They know what they're going to get. They don't have questions going into the offseason about them, going into training camp. They know what they're going to get. And it's sort of that Stampeder's way of doing things that's made this organization so successful under John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson. This move with Derek Dennis speaks, I think, right into that sort of philosophy that they employ here.
Yeah, I know that certainly, you know, they lost a fair bit of players here the last, I would say, couple of years. You know, you look at all the guys that have gone to Toronto. But yeah, I think exactly what you're saying has been kind of at the heart of Calgary's success, because the teams, you know, the way the CFL works with literally 90% of their players outside of really quarterbacks being on 1 year deals, the teams that are able to retain free agents and keep the same group together, you look at what Winnipeg's done. I mean, back-to-back Grey Cup champions. The teams that stay together and can keep their core group together, those are the ones that have the most success. And I think Calgary has been one of the teams that's been able to do that over the years. I mentioned that's probably been a big reason why guys like Trey Roberson and Reggie Bagleton not only returned from the NFL midseason and signed with Calgary, but then re-signed with Calgary in the offseason, because you know they know what the organization's all about. They've had success here, and all those things help with being able to retain players. And of course, like anything, certainly when it comes to sports, winning cures all. And I know a lot of eyes are on what Winnipeg's going to do, and you know the guys they've been able to sign or what else they can do here in the next, what, less than a month now, as we're in January 12th. I mentioned free agency opening on February 8th. Everybody's looking at their quarterback, Zach Collaros. You know, what does that contract look like? Because every dollar they pay him, as Dave Naylor reported today and wrote about on TSN.ca, every dollar they play Zach Collaros is going to play a massive role, in, you know, trying to retain other big names on their team. And as back-to-back champs, you want to bring back as many guys as possible. But, yeah, that's the secret sauce, as it were, in the CFL. The teams that stay together are the ones that have the most success.
Yeah, I don't think it's any coincidence that you've seen that sort of mantra in Winnipeg, like you've mentioned the last couple of years, part of even through the pandemic year where they didn't have a season, Will. Was there a better team at retaining their guys and bringing them back than Winnipeg? I don't think so. That team looked remarkably like the one that won the Grey Cup in 2019 here in Calgary. And surprise, surprise, it led them to a Grey Cup victory again this season. I'm not saying that that's, you know, the only factor in it. They definitely had new guys and had to fill in. But for the most part, Mike O'Shea and everybody else in Winnipeg knew what they were coming in with. And I think that that's a recipe that's been successful here in Calgary. And I don't want to call out these organizations about doing it the wrong way, but look at Toronto and BC the last couple of seasons that have spent so heavily in free agency and brought in all of these big name guys and big ticket prices. Has it led to that much success? I know the Argos were a playoff team this year, but they lost in their game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And the BC one a couple of years ago was a disaster with all of those free agents that they tried to bring in. I think the recipe for success in the CFL is 100% doing it the way that Winnipeg and Calgary and to a degree Hamilton and some of the other teams have tried to do in the previous couple of years. But I think knowing what you have in this league and being able to trust in that makes such a big difference and clearly leads to some success.
He is Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. Calgary Stampeders bringing back Derek Dennis today. He is back for his third stint with the Calgary Stampeders and kind of taking a year off every time he, you know, has a stint with the Stamps. A couple of years here, take a year off, a couple more years, take a year off. And now he's back for two more seasons with the Calgary Stampeders. And as you said, and we'll talk to him on Friday, but quoted in the press release saying it's good to be home. So Derek Dennis back in red and white, and I would say back where he belongs with the Calgary Stampeders. Again, free agency in the CFL opens up on February 8th. We're seeing a lot of big names re-sign with their teams, which is good news for their fans. And, you know, we talk about jersey sales and merchandise and all that. You feel better buying a jersey if your player is sticking around. And, you know, that usually helps when it comes to purchasing a jersey, a T-shirt, you name it. And we've seen a lot of big names, certainly this week, A.C. Leonard in Saskatchewan, Lucky Whitehead in B.C., Derek Dennis now with Calgary, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell reworking his contracts. We're going to talk about him leaving. There's a lot of good things happening in the CFL, and we'll keep an eye, as we do locally here, when it comes to the Stampeders and certainly on CFL free agency. When that opens up on February 8th, any news regarding Calgary and any big news across the CFL, we'll be all over it here on the big show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Well, really looking forward to this conversation because we told you we were going to do some different things on this program, and this next conversation certainly qualifies. Looking forward to having a friend of the program and a stand-up comic, Trent McClellan, going to join the program next as we continue hour two of the big show live inside the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
We're to day three of what's been a bit of a line shuffle here at Sportsnet 960. This is a brand new program, brand new combination. Same old name, though, with The Big Show. Welcome back to hour number two. And when we started this program on Monday afternoon, I made a couple of promises to you, the audience. I said we'd spread our wings a little bit and do some different things. Well, this next conversation, this next segment would certainly, most definitely qualify. Welcome back to The Big Show. I am Will Nault. We're coming to you live from the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Get your career started in an iconic way. Apply to join the team today. Find job opportunities at iconicec.ca/careers. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. He is in front of the program. He's a Calgarian. He's a stand-up comedian, host of the Generators podcast, and, of course, you may also have seen him on This Hour Has 22 Minutes. He is, of course, a diehard Flames fan as well. He is Trent McClellan. Trent, how are you, pal?
Hey, buddy, how's it going? The new slot, the new lineup looks good.
I don't know. But yeah, I guess. I appreciate that. And I'm happy you're on show three of this new program. So,
oh, man, if we can get to five, huh? Wouldn't that be something? Just go, man, remember when you first started all the way back to show one? I mean, just the montage, the musical montage, you know, just time of your life, a la Seinfeld. I mean, it's just, I can already see it, Will. I can already see it. It's a beautiful thing in my mind.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe I'll get you to be the producer of that. How about that?
Well, I mean, I have a job right now, but I do appreciate the offer. Kind of tied up in Halifax out here wearing wigs and playing ridiculous characters. So, you know, I got a lot going on. I'm a mover and shaker, as you know.
Did you say wigs or water wings? I didn't catch that.
I wear both, depending on the sketch that we do. So it doesn't matter to me. But congrats, buddy! I'm glad you're in the new space there, in the new lot, and you're going to crush it. I firmly believe this.
Thank you, pal. Well, happy to have you on the program, and reached out to you yesterday because, again, I don't want to necessarily talk this or start this with a real deep, serious talk, but I know you had a bit of a connection, and I know you put some things on social media the last couple of days, done a couple of media interviews, and of course, you know, you're sitting there Sunday and scrolling social media, and we all saw the news and absolutely stunned everybody. Bob Saget, dead at the age of 65, longtime star, of course, at Full House, was on tour in Florida and was found unresponsive in his hotel bed, and that was it. That's Bob Saget, done at 65. And I know you have a bit of a connection with him, and I believe shared the stage at one point. And I thought, hey, let's get Trent on to tell some stories and maybe some memories of Bob Saget. But just the floor is yours, man. When someone asks you the last couple of days about Bob Saget, what comes to mind?
The biggest thing that comes to mind for me with Bob is just kindness. I mean, in entertainment, as you know, it can be very cutthroat, very narcissistic, very self-serving. But Bob was one of those people who always, always put other people first. He was just above and beyond generous, checking in on people, helping anybody in any way he could. It didn't matter if you were famous, not famous. He's like, how can I help? How can I help you get to the next level? How can I open a door for you? That kind of guy. And we hit it off right from the get-go. I think I was playing, he was at the Jubilee Auditorium, and I got asked to open for him. So I was sitting in my dressing room before showtime. And a lot of time with these big acts, especially when you're starting out, they don't really spend much time with the opening acts. You know, they might not even know, you know, they might not even watch the opening act or even see them backstage because they're in their own green room, you know, green space. And I get a knock on the door, and I turn around, it's Bob Saget. He's like, he goes, Trent, man, I saw some clips of your stuff. It's hilarious. It's going to be so much fun tonight. We've got a great crowd. You want to do some drinks later? You want to get some dinner later? If you don't drink, that's fine. But if you want to get some dinner, like right away he was trying to connect with me. And, man, from that moment on, we just hit it off. We went for dinner that night, talked about comedy and just life in general. And just above and beyond, man, he wrote a letter for my U.S. work visa to get down there to do some gigs. He made a phone call to get me on at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. And was one of those guys that when he said, let me know if there's anything I can do, he actually meant it. He was a guy who was like, I'm saying that because I really believe in you and I want to help you. And he would follow through. So, man, I tell you, when I got that notification on my phone, I was gutted, man. I shed a few tears that night for sure.
And you had him on your podcast a couple times, right?
Yeah. He was on a podcast and just loved life, man. Had a beautiful wife, great kids. He had a podcast. He was producing a documentary and a bunch of other stuff that was in development. He's still doing stand-up dates. I think he'd done 2 hours on stage the night before he passed and was loving it, you know. And a funny story about Bob was we're playing the River Creek Casino in Edmonton. And the show ends, and it's, you know, it's a big crowd. And the show ends, and I hear Bob go, where's Trent? Where's Trent? And I'm like, I'm right here. He's like, hey, we're going to go to the steakhouse next door and get some supper with the promoter. You want to come? I was like, yeah, sure. So I turn around to walk back out the front. He's like, no. We're going to go through the back door. Let's go through here. So we go backstage. We go at the back door. There's a Suburban there. And these two armed guards open the door to Suburban, and we get in it. And then they get in the back of another Suburban behind us. And we drive along the side of the casino, literally half the length of a soccer field, get stopped. They open the doors, we get out, and we go in the back door of this steakhouse. And I'm like, Bob, I drove here in a Dodge Neon, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't. I could have walked out the front. Like, why am I in an armed Suburban with you? Like, no one knows who I am. This was like, you know, 10, 12 years ago. But he's like, no, man, you're with me, and this is how we ride. And just a beautiful person, man. I mean, anybody who spent time with Bob says the exact same thing. And all your listeners would have loved to hang out with him too. He's just that kind of guy. Loved being funny and loved taking care of people.
Were you a Full House guy growing up?
I was, man. That's what I mean, right? When you're sitting down after a show and you're drinking some rum and cokes with Danny Tanner, I mean, your mind's blown. You're like, how?
You're like, is this actually my life? Like, is this real?
Exactly. I just did a gig. I got paid to do it. Now I'm crushing rum and cokes with Danny Tanner. I'm like, what? I mean, how does it get any better than this? I'm going to get in an armed Suburban after this and drive 9 feet. I'm like, I don't know what else to do. This is insane. And, oh, man, he's just a good guy. And the thing I said to someone else too about Bob Saget is that he didn't embrace this whole celebrity thing. Like, the guy was famous and he had all the money in the world and all that stuff, but he didn't use the celebrity card. I think he saw himself as more of an artist, a person who creates, a comedian. He liked those titles more so than celebrity. Celebrity, he's like, what does that even mean? Like, what's the point of that, right? He raised so much money for cancer research and stuff because his sister had passed away from very rare form of cancer. Like, he just got it, man. You know, he understood why we're all here. And, you know, you take your talents and you use them to the best of your ability. And along the way, you just try and be as kind as you can. And that's how he lived every day of his life, man. So he's going to be missed big time.
Final one on Bob, and we'll get to some other things, but certainly a great place to start. Did you have much conversations with him about, like, you know, stand-up versus acting and kind of, like, I don't know, you know, where your ambitions are if you want to get much into acting, but, you know, was that ever part of your conversations and kind of the difference between the two? And obviously, you know, Bob loves stand-up like everybody does, but were those big conversations between the two of you at all?
Yeah, I think when you start off in stand-up comedy, it opens so many other doors for you because you have a certain sound or a certain look, and then suddenly people start going, hey, can you act at all? Or are you interested in acting at all? So sometimes it just kind of falls in your lap, you know? And we would talk about those things, about the business and about, you know, it's tough because when you're doing stand-up, it's just you and the audience. You have an idea, you deliver it the way you want to deliver it, and the audience likes it or they don't. But when you're involved with film and television, there are so many different people who put their mark on the thing you're making, from people who are writing, people who design the set, people who are doing lighting and sound, and the director and the other actors. So it becomes this team type effort to make this one thing. Stand-up is just solitary. It's just you with that audience, you know? And I told Bob something that someone had said to me once. They said, quite often when you're collaborating with a group of people, it doesn't quite turn out the way you want it to turn out exactly. And the saying I heard once that I thought was funny was, a horse built by committee is sometimes a camel. And I think there's some truth to that. Like, it kind of looks like a horse, but it's actually got those humps. I mean, is that exactly what we're talking about? So that's kind of the concession you make sometimes, you know, when you're working with a larger group of people sometimes. But yeah, we would get into all that stuff and just joke writing and his early days in stand-up and things, and just a big book of knowledge, you know.
He is comedian Trent McClellan. You might know him from This Hour as 22 Minutes, of course, the Generators podcast as well. He's our guest on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline here on the Big Show, Sportsnet 960. Now to you personally, I know that we talk about crowds and attendance when it comes to sporting events and how crazy sports have been. What about for you? What's life as a comedian in the pandemic? How has that been? How challenging has that been? And what has the last, I guess, 2+ years been like for you?
Yeah, no, it's been very limited, you know, in the ability to perform live. I mean, luckily at 22 minutes, our protocol with the pandemic and stuff is very, very strict. So luckily we've been able to continue to film and to do what we do. And we're very, very grateful for that. Obviously we know a lot of people have been affected. Their jobs have been affected. So in terms of stand up, yeah, like it's just everything's down right now. You know, like I've been jotting down some ideas so that when I do get back on stage, I'll have some fresh stuff to talk about. But in terms of stand up right now, yeah, it's just like, everyone's just on low beam right now, so just kind of waiting for that thing to get to fire back up again. But in Halifax here, they take all this stuff pretty seriously, so I'm pretty encouraged that comedy clubs and stuff will be open here again at some point.
I was going to say, do you have plans for a tour or anything like that? I know that certainly with you know, everything changing seemingly by the minute, it's tough to plan much in this pandemic. You kind of just go day by day. But any plans to return back to tour here at some point? I know fans in Calgary would love to see you again.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get back there at some point. As of right now, there are no plans. I mean, as a performer, I also watch what happens with other performers, you know, and so whether it's a musician or other comedians, and I see so many tours have to get canceled or dates postponed, and I'd like to just be able to do it at a time when you could launch something and not have any fear of things being, you know, canceled or having to change dates, because it's such a headache to try and do that and do it in a logistical way that makes sense. So I would definitely love to get back out west at some point. I mean, it's been a while since I've performed in Calgary or Alberta in general, so I would love to do that. I need to tell you this, too, man. Over the summer, I don't know if you heard or not, Will, but your buddy came out for a visit. Did you know this?
I have no idea where you're going, but this should be fun.
Did you know that one day I get a message from a one Pat Steinberg, okay? Who was it in the Halifax area, and I took that guy around.
How hammered was he?
That guy, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a grown adult in a baby stroller before, but that's basically what it was. It was me wheeling Steinberg around, I mean, you know, trying to say, hey, there's the harbor. He couldn't quite see it because, you know, due to the rums and beers. But still, it was good to see him. It was good to see Pat out of his element, out of that studio, out of the dome, out in the real world, you know? And I wish I had some video of it, because you probably don't even believe that it actually happened. It's almost like a Bigfoot sighting.
Yeah.
You know? But it was I was there, and it happened.
Wow. Well, I'm going to look worse, because I was actually in Halifax like 3 weeks after him, and I didn't even message you. So that I look worse.
You know, this is awkward for all of us.
Yeah.
The fact
really
that you're going to lay
strange.
That on me right now, live
really
on the
strange.
Air, that you were actually here in Halifax. You're like, I know he's here. Who cares? That's basically what you're saying, Will.
Yeah.
Right?
This is now awkward.
Well, you know, maybe you do make it to show 5. I don't know. You know, and I don't know if I care anymore. But
this might be the last time you're on the program. So that's...
That one stung. I'm not going to lie to you. That one hurt. That was a two-hander on the wrist there. I'm not going to lie to you.
Now, in retrospect, hindsight probably feels like one I should have kept to myself. But I just feel like I wanted to be open and honest with you, Trent. That's all. Put it all out there.
No, I appreciate that. Is that the name of the show? Is that the name of it? Is it called Open and Honest with Will Nault?
Yeah.
I'm
changing it now from this moment forward. Yeah.
That's gonna get listeners. Dear God. All right. Well. Big dead silence there, I guess. Yeah. Have you been here before, Will, and not told me? Did you want to share more or?
No, it was my first. It was my first time. It was my first time.
Did you enjoy Halifax?
Have you
been here before?
Yeah. Well, this is my first time. My cousin lives there. That's the reason I went. I went for Thanksgiving. And I had never been before, but I quite enjoyed it. And the weather was actually still pleasant, so a lot of patios were still open. And, I would be thrilled to come back. And the next time I'm there, you're the first guy I'm messaging. I'm not even going to stay I'm not even going to stay at my cousin's. I'm going to just stay at your house.
That'll be fantastic. I mean, the rates at my place are pretty reasonable. And there's a mint and a fold-down service as well. So I think that's pretty sweet. So love to have you. Be great.
Sweet, man. It won't be awkward at all. And we'll have a great time.
No. I won't bring up how you've been here before and
no,
didn't call me.
No.
I won't bring that up. That's none of my business.
No.
You know?
Yeah. It's my business, not yours. So stay out of it.
No, exactly. Well, you probably should have kept it to yourself. But again, hindsight. So
open and honest.
2020. Well, 2020. Open and honest with Will Nault. Here at a Fan 960.
I do got to ask you, though, as a guy who's living in Halifax, I spending time there, I realize the time zones. Yeah, have you been able to watch much Flames? What's your landscape been on the NHL and the Calgary Flames?
I've caught a few games, but it is tough, of course, with the time difference. And my call times here quite often with 22 minutes, like I have to leave here at like 6 a.m., 5:30. So staying up late for the old West Coast puck drop can be challenging at times. But I have caught a few. Obviously, this last stretch has been pretty difficult for them. But I think a losing streak sometimes can turn a season around. I know they had a bunch of wins under the belt. Then you go through some adversity, the COVID thing and game cancellation. It's been a lot of adversity to tackle. But I think, I don't know, I got a gut feeling that this might be the season where they actually do a good run. And I think it's because of Markstrom. When you have goaltending at that level, when he's dialed in, I think that can be something that can take you on quite a run of the playoffs. They just got to get there. Hopefully he's on top of his game. And we continue to get scoring by committee. And I think this team could actually make some noise. I really believe that. I'm not saying host a cup this year, but I think they could do some damage.
So do you have like Daryl Sutter t-shirts? Are you on the Daryl Sutter bandwagon? Is that where you're at?
Yep. I've got the t-shirts, turtlenecks. Some
cutouts.
There's the cutout. Yeah, it's cutout. It's called What's Better Than Butter? Daryl Sutter, right? So they rhyme. They're great. I think I've sold two. So those are moving like hotcakes. And of course, when you
I'm surprised you have stock left. Actually, I'm surprised you still have any.
Well,
in stock.
They're turtleneck too, but the actual sleeves are tearaway, so you can tear the sleeves off each side. That's more of a turtleneck vest. So those are also available.
Does it come with the gold chain, or is that separate?
You can buy the gold chain with it as a combo, and you save $5. So that's also an option for people out there.
Wow, that's a steal! Absolute steal. I can understand why they're selling like hotcakes. What's the latest with the podcast, my friend? Where can people find the Generators podcast? Are you still pumping those out?
We're on the old Apple podcast there, on Spotify, and anywhere podcast lives. Been some incredible guests over the last 6 months. I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus right now. I'm just kind of focusing on 22 minutes, but for listeners out there, there's a back catalog of a lot of incredible guests. I'll tell you who was a great guest on the show, and I don't know if you talked to him before. You probably have. Christopher Stieg was on the podcast, and he was a beauty. Have you talked to Chris before?
Yeah, one of the best. Had him regularly last year. I haven't talked to him yet this season, but an absolute beauty. And first got kind of hooked on him with his Instagram breakdowns of hockey, and then. I mean, yeah, the guy is an absolute beauty and a personality that just, makes you want to sit down and have 10 beers with him.
Oh, yeah. So good. So easy to talk to. Had a lot of great insight, too, about his early days, so his junior hockey days, and kind of where he developed kind of some mental strength and kind of how he attributed that to his success and longevity in the NHL, which I thought was very insightful. I also have a podcast, the one, the only, Ryan Leslie. Is on the podcast, okay?
A couple bald dudes just hanging out.
You know what I mean? And that guy was like, hey, can I wear a suit? I'm like, I don't, Ryan, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, it's the podcast. I don't know what's going to. So I guess he wore a suit. I mean, whatever. But he was a great guest as well and gave me some insight on his career and kind of how he got his start. So just there's been some great guests, man. Fantastic. And David Suzuki on there. Dr. David Suzuki was on. Talking about his life and stuff. So I've been very blessed. A lot of great guests who've given me their time and been very open and honest and, open and honest with Will Nault almost to that level, you know?
Yeah, a lot of hair talk, I'm sure, with Leslie too, right? So, I mean, that's...
I go, where do you go, like, you know, to get that look, you know? And he wouldn't tell me. So, I mean, it got kind of a little awkward there, but...
Not as awkward as this, though, tell you that much.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the bottom of awkward, but he was fantastic as well. Steinberg wouldn't go on. Steinberg's like, you know what? I got to go through my people and da, da, da. You know, he kind of big dogged me on that one, which was kind of tough.
He pushes the PR angle pretty hard, which is, I mean, it's disappointing really, but you should have got him when he was absolutely smashed is what you should have done.
Over
a couple 3 a.m. donairs, yeah, no big deal.
He just loaded up his hoodie one night with donairs, someone's hood, and just headed out. I'm like, Pat, do you think that's a good idea? Are we making the right choices in life? You
yeah,
know?
Room 306 of the Westin was just rank. After
oh,
that.
Okay. Yeah, I heard they have to use it for storage now. Yeah. There's no way they can actually rent it out again, unfortunately. But you know what? Everyone makes mistakes, and some are bigger than others.
Yeah, he, for some reason, thought a hotel had windows that opened. I don't know that.
It was, I mean, that cleaning staff, I mean, I don't wish that on anybody. That's not something anyone deserves to have to put up with. But, really, you know, Godspeed.
Yeah, really too bad. Trent, thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate it. And I know that we'll have you on again soon. I know that we hope to see you out here again. I missed you at the Brian Burke's Targets for Kids, man. I missed you this year.
Oh, buddy, I've been enjoying Halifax a ton, obviously, but like I did miss going to the event. I mean, I do think I would have shot worse than I had previous years because for some reason I just get worse each year. So
well,
maybe
it's hard to repeat perfect though, right? So.
Well, that's what I said, and Kerr was chirping me, and I just needed a break from a year, you know, just to regroup here, you know, a lot of character in this room, obviously, and we believe in ourselves and all that stuff, you know.
Oh, by the way, I loved when you did the, it was a good little tribute there to your sports videos when you do the towel around the neck and you do the interviews. Those are good.
Ah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I might have to break out another one there. We shot a hockey sketch the other day that I think may air next week sometime. Ooh. So I enjoyed doing that one. So you might have to keep an eye out for that one on the old 22 minutes. But it's been good talking to you, buddy. And again, you look fabulous, by the way. I've been seeing you on the old socials. I'm like, what's that guy just running every day? Meanwhile, I'm eating Doritos, sitting on my couch. I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. What's going on?
I shed half a human in a pandemic. It was, it's great.
You look great, man.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Great talking to you. I've taken enough of your time. This has been awkward enough, and we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. Have a great week.
You too. It's Trent McClellan, comedian. This hour is 22 minutes, and of course, the Generators podcast. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Come on in and enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. Logo, in hindsight, probably should have left that out that I was in Halifax. Just might have.
Yeah, not your brightest moment.
That's okay, though.
We powered through. Yeah.
It's all good. That'll do it for hour number two. Thank you to Trent for jumping on. Great tribute to Bob Saget, who passed away at the age of 65 on Sunday. And thought there would be nobody better to talk about Bob Saget than Trent, who has spent some time with him, done a couple of tours, of course, opened up for him in both Calgary and Edmonton. I love the story about the limo, about 50 yards, and then they got out in the next stop. It's pretty cool. And as he said, a couple of those times where you're like, yeah, this is my life. I'm sharing rum and cokes with Bob Saget. We'll take a break. Logan Gordon's got the biggest stories in sports coming up next. What's making news? Headline, top of the hour, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.